we bow our heads just a moment while we stand? Our Heavenly Father, we come to Thee tonight with the humbleness of our hearts, expressing You with gratitude for Your goodness and kindness to us. We, too, are unworthy creatures, and one time alienated from God, without hope, without mercy, without Christ. And Jesus died for us to redeem us back to the fellowship and relationship with God, and now we're sons and daughters of God. It is not yet clear what we shall be finally at the end, but we know we are going to have a body just like His, or we shall see Him as He is. We pray that You will bless this group tonight exceedingly abundantly for all Your goodness and their mercy and their thoughts and love tokens. And tonight, as it seems to be with other meetings, louder, that we must journey on to another city. As our Lord said, I must go to another city and preach the gospel. But oh God, someday we are going to meet when we will never part again. And that city where there will be no night services, it will be buried, for the Lamb is alive. And we long to see Him who is the light of the world and the light of that great city. And bless us tonight in our efforts. And help Your poor, tired servant, Lord, with not much voice left to speak to the purpose of Your blood. But believing that You will meet us here and will help us. And we will praise You for it. For we ask it in the name of Thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. May be seated. I wish to express my most sincere thanks to Dr. Lee Bailey and to the cooperating pastors of the city and the roundabout who have dismissed their services for this campaign. This is gratitude and a heart of love that I pray that God will bless you exceedingly abundantly in doing this. And for your real Christian feeling towards the work of God that He has sent me to do as your co-worker in the kingdom. Then I wish to express to this audience your faithfulness of coming each night and packing in and filling up the auditorium and so forth each night, coming maybe many miles through the snow and thick roads to come. You never come just to be seen. You come for what good that the Lord will give you. And I thank you for it, my gallant brother and sister and friends of Christ. Trusting of some glorious day that we don't have to travel like this to meet each other. But wanting to make an appointment with each of you that after it's all over, I would like to go home with each of you tonight. Stay all night with you. Get up in the morning and talk of the things of God. And the fellowship that we can have around the Word of God in your home. And be there and eat with you in fellowship. I just can't do it because the harvest is ripe and the time is close to hand. So I must be going on. But someday I want an appointment with you that we'll sit down in another kingdom, the kingdom of the Father, on the other side, and then we'll retire forever to be together. And I certainly covet the prayers of each of you people. Now, it won't be long, if God willing, I'll be going across into foreign soil, Africa, India, Eurasia, Japan. We're looking for the greatest religious meeting that's ever been in the history of the world when we come to Japan. There's only 2,000 full gospel people there, and they're worshippers of Buddha, and their God is defeated. They're a great nation without a God. So I want to take Jesus to them. And now, may I ask you to do this for me? Way overseas, and you know, in the papers and things when I'm over there, and the rich doctors and so forth are challenging the gospel when I have to stand there and the wind is blowing hot. Can I depend on the people of Lyman around about to be praying for me? Will you do it? Thank you. Thank you much. And someday, we will meet and God will reward you before that even for doing it. I was certainly thankful to the board that let us have this beautiful little auditorium here. It's a pretty little place. And it's so marvelously arranged and the acoustics seems to be so good. And your audience is drawn right up to you. I like that. I like the close feeling. Some of the best meetings I ever had was in cottage prayer meetings where we were sitting right around each other, fellowshipping. And this little auditorium for a place of the size produces that. And I think it's a lovely little place. I cut my picture out that I found in the paper to take with me. And to the custodians and for all their kindness, may the Lord richly bless you, gentlemen and brethren. Then I was just asked or said to me tonight by my son just a few moments ago that they had taken a love offering for me. Well, I told Dr. Bale he shouldn't do that, just to put it in on expenses. And they said his expenses is already met. Now, I want to thank you kindly. If there's anything I've tried to do, it's keep away from money. For I was born poor, and my people are poor, and that's the way I want to be like I am now. And I never took an offering in my life myself, never took one up in my life. I remember one time at home I was going to take an offering, we were poor people, and I'm you know, when you get to a place you can't make things meet together, you can't pay. I do it all the time. So I was working, and I said to the wife, you know, honey, I'm going over and take up an offering tonight. She said, I'm going to watch the door. And so she sat back in the meeting, and now not as the people I've pastored there 17 years without one penny. Not because they didn't want to pay me, because I was young, able to work, so I'd do it right now. If I could just wait on them and soon do the same thing, I love the work. And I went over to take up the offering, and I said, we didn't have any offering place, so I said, folks, I kind of a little place, I just can't make the rooms meet. I'm going to take a little offering, somebody's got some slippers if you'd like to help me. And I said, brother, Brownheart, we called him Uncle Jim. Get my hat, will you? He went and got my hat, and I looked right down and found him a little old lefty. He's in the early tonight. One of those little aprons with the pockets on the inside. Did you ever see one? What part of Kentucky you from now? And so, it's this little apron, and she puts out some of these little pocketbooks and snaps on the top, and begins to reach down for those nickels. Oh, I just couldn't do it. Oh, I said, I was just teasing you. I didn't mean it. And my wife looked at me. And you know, there was an old man who used to follow me to many of his mighty students. He was fueling me. He had long beard. His name was Lyon, John Lyon. How many of you know John Lyon? Well, my dear, parting leaves behind it. And the old man, I used to get about wearing those beards. He was a movie star, if you all didn't know that. He was once the movie star. He wrote the famous Darling in the Rainy Barnbury Circus. And was a Catholic and was converted into the Christian religion and was the apostolic faith. And he's gone to glory now at 80-something years old. And he rode an old bicycle down and gave it to me from Dwight, West Michigan. Oh, it was in bad shape. But I went down and took 10 cents and bought me a can of paint and painted it all up and sold it. Got enough money to pay the bill off, and I put myself down to the house. So I never took an offering. I wish that this didn't have to be done. But I know that that's a portion of your living. I know that you're poor people like I am. And perhaps maybe that might have to squeeze the baby's cheese when you're in. And I realize that. But friend, to the best of my knowledge, I promise you, that it will not go for foolishness, but the best of my knowledge for the kingdom of God. And may God bring it back to you, multiplied, boost up, run down, taken down, 100-fold is my prayer. Now, how many people is here from out of town? Let's see it here. Okay. Is there anybody here from Lima? Lima people, raise your hand. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I was just such a massive. We are happy to be in Lima, aren't we, outsiders? Amen. We think you're wonderful. We think you've got some fine ministers and some fine merchants and just a lovely city. And we pray that God will bless you exceedingly abundantly. And now, tonight, I am very hoarse. Usually, a minister just can still preach about once today. But you know that preaching is harder on me than most any kind of a manual labor that you could do? I've seen that estimated and broken down, and I believe that it is compared. I think that 20 minutes of preaching under inspiration takes more from your physical body than 8 hours of a third woman. That's how hard it is. That's inspirational preaching. So we ask you now, and thank you. And if I've left anybody, oh, the organist, if you can. There's just so many of you. And today I was just speaking to different ones and places. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe I see a sweet little old couple that usually calls me long distance when they're sick, and I don't believe God failed one time. And I don't know if it is, but isn't that the Reverend and Mrs. Steve sitting out there? Raise up your hand. I want you all to see an old veteran and his wife, way in the 70s or 80s, still preaching the gospel. Will you stand up just a minute, brother and sister, too? Let's say praise the Lord for God's goodness to them. That's very much appropriate. God bless them. Way, God bless you, sister and brother. Way in the years of 80 and still preaching the gospel. Oh, isn't that wonderful? I pray that God will bless them exceedingly abundantly. And now, they were probably out preaching before I was born. And you see how honored I feel of having them. You know, usually when very old, the general public seems to pass you by. But there is just a good, there is one you, good by falling tired. He'll never leave you not forsaken. I want to read tonight from the Blessed Word, and then just for a short time, lean towards, and we will pray for the sick. And I want to thank you once more for something else, praying for me last night, the first time I ever got a prayer line through like that, and I don't know when. Without reading, because I just went to that all the time. And how the testimonies are flowing today have been wonderful. What you need is a great big tent setting out here in about a 4 or 5 week revival, so you can just stay right with it until it's over. I want to read from the book of St. Luke tonight, from the 18th chapter of St. Luke, and beginning with the 42nd verse. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and glorified him, glorified God, and all the people, and they saw it, they praised the praise unto God. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. And may the Almighty Jehovah ever bless. Usually this is the night when more is done than any other night in the meeting. Because the great strain, it's the anticipation, the waiting, the expectancy, that's usually what brings the Holy Spirit right down. Oh, how I pray with all my heart that there will not be a feeble one among us in an hour of the night. I pray not one sinner in the building, may every sinner be saved, every backslider come back to the house of God. Is my humble, sincere prayer. Jesus had just been speaking to the disciples and about sacrilegious, how there was a publican went to the temple to pray, and a self-righteous man stood there, and how he and all of his good deeds that he could quote to the Lord, how I thank thee that I'm not like this publican or like ordinary man. How I pay my tithes and fast and so forth. But Jesus was teaching them that all those things were all right and they had their place. But then those things are not the real things. They're not the religious, they're religion, but they're not salvation. If we depend upon those things to merit for our salvation, we would go in by work and wouldn't need the Lord Jesus. But we have to solemnly depend up on Him, and I'm so glad that everyone can come. If religion only needs to build a church, to sacrifice, and to be sincere, God would be unjust to condemn sin, because He done everything religious that Abel did. Everything that Abel did religious, Cain did the same. Both boys sincere. Both boys made an altar. Both boys made a sacrifice. Both boys knelt down. Both boys prayed. Both boys worshiped. So if worship, sincerity, belong to the church, and all those things are all God requires, then He would be unjust to condemn Cain, for Cain did the very same thing that Abel did. But all of it was work of His hands. And it's not by works, it's by the grace of God who is saved. Abel never worked. He just believed on Him that justifies the ungodly. And His sacrifice was received. I see tonight starts at the gate of Jericho. Jericho was one of the lowest cities of the world, way down in the valleys of the Jordan. And it's a pathetic scene as you look at it. There is a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus, and he's sitting by the wall of Jericho. And it was pretty hard on the beggars of those days, because there were many of them. There were lepers, there were crippled, lame, halt, blind, all types of beggars. And as a man who was a little more blessed, that could spare a coin now and then, when he slept his home at morning, the first beggar he met, he perhaps give him the coin, and maybe could not afford any more through the day. So it was a custom that beggars would stay near the gate, that when the traveler or the businessman coming to his business in the city would drop the coin to them, that they might have a livelihood. And perhaps this man being blind for many years, if there had been an operation to have been performed on his eyes, he could not afford it, for he was a beggar. But very much in doubt whether physicians of that day could help him or the physicians of the day. Now, blindness is a horrible thing. An eye is a valuable thing. And so, while he was sitting there, let's just take a little picture now and go down there with blind Bartimaeus, so we can get the real kernel of what we wish to talk on for the next 15, 20 minutes. Blind Bartimaeus sitting by the gate, perhaps in the sunshine, as the direct rays of the Palestinian sun shining on by the wall. Let's think that he was studying, meditating. You know, the way to find God is to meditate upon God. Think of God. David spoke of it, how he would bind the laws on his bedpost, and how he would meditate therein day and night.
If we notice it was the disciples on the road to Emmaus, that while they were speaking to each other concerning the Lord Jesus, that he stepped right out of the group and walked with them. If our minds would be more taken up on God and on the things pertaining to God, it would be so much easier to live the victorious life in Christ. He would be with us. You know, this fellow either, while he was thinking, meditating to God, the beautiful Rebecca come out to water with camel just in answer to what he was asking God. And his son, Barnabas, set at the gate. He was a beggar, ragged, sitting with his little rag wrapped around him, probably a middle-aged man with tiny heart that he had a family, a wife, a little girl. And as he sat there in the sunshine, I can just imagine his mind drifting back to another day. A day that when things were better for him, when he was a little boy, as he went over the Judean hills, and I can think that maybe perhaps one of his favorite times was when he, after a midday meal was over, as a little brown-eyed youth boy rollicked along in the soft wind, he skipped through the fields. He would come in at a certain hour to his mama, a beautiful young youth. And his favorite thing was, before he took his afternoon nap, was to hear his tell stories of the Bible. That seems to be so interesting to any little boy that's got good character in him. The Bible stories. It's just too bad that mothers today don't take more time to talk to the children on those things. I'm sure he didn't have so much juvenile delinquency if this was it. And as the little bright eyes would look up into Mama's face, and how he would enjoy the different stories that she would read from the Bible to him. The Old Testament, of course, because that's all they had. And perhaps one of the leading stories that he liked so well was the one of the great, mighty prophet Elijah. How that Elijah, in his day, how that he went up to Mount Carmel, and there was a Shunammite woman, a Gentile, who thought he was a great prophet, and she was a rich woman, and she could help this prophet, so she built herself a little house for him, a little room, a little chamber. And she placed in there a bed, a little stool, and some water for his feet, and a pitcher to drink from to show kindness. And so one day when he found all this kindness, he sent Gehazi, his servant, to pick her up, to bring her in to where he was. And he said, could I do a favor for you? You've been so kind to me. You divide to me the potion that you're living, and help me to have a little place to rest. And you did this because if you had respect unto my God. Could I speak to the king for you or to the chief captain? She said, no, I dwell among my people. Everything's all right. And Jehoshaphat said to him, he doesn't have any children. And perhaps Elijah in his prayer saw what the Lord was going to do. And he said, go tell her that about this time next year, according to life, she is going to embrace a son. And the little boy was born in the home when her husband was old. And he was a lovely little lad. How little Barnabas, his eyes were glistening. And his sparkle. When you can hear of this little boy born. And how mommy would baby him and play with him. And then one day it came to pass when he was about the age of Barnabas then, was out in the field with his papa. And it must have been a sunstroke. It was about noon, 11 o'clock. And the little boy began to cry, "My head, my head." And the father, being busy in the harvest, sent a servant, took the little lad home, and the mother laid him on her lap, and he died. Oh, what a tragedy. But to this Canaanite woman, there was no defeat. She had something to her heart. She took the little bed from the boy and laid him up on the bed of Elijah. What a place to come. Just like. Taking him out and laying him on his own little crib, up on their bed, but took him around the house to the little prophet's chamber and opened the door and laid him where the servant of God had laid him. Quite a wise woman. And she called her husband and she said, "I must go find the man of God." I like that. Oh, he said, "It's in the new moon this Sabbath." But she said, "It'll be all right." Something in her heart. "Everything will be well." So he saddled a mule and he told the servant, he did, said, "Drive and don't stop till I call you to." And as they neared the mount where the prophet living in his cave, he walked out the side of the cave and he looked and he said to the servant, "Here comes that Canaanite. Go and meet her. She seems like she's in a rush. Oh, they're just flipping the little mule and he's a-going. Go meet her and say unto her, 'Is all well with thee? Is all well with thy husband? Is all well with the baby?'" And the servant ran and met her, and she said, "All is well." Her baby dead, her husband frantic, but all is well. Wow. She knew God was in his service, the prophet. She knew she could hear from God. And she wanted to know why that her baby had been taken. So she runs up close, and Elijah looks at her again. And he said, "Her heart is full of grief, and God has hid it from me." You know, there's a wonderful thing. God don't tell his prophets everything. He just tells them what he wants them to know. Not everything. They can't do nothing in themselves. Just what God shows them, that's what they do. Could you imagine Isaac sitting blind and blessing Jacob and the spirit of Esau? Could you imagine Jacob holding Joseph's coat for 40 years, bloody, thinking that an animal killed it and being a prophet? See, God just revealed to his prophet that what he wants them to know. Nothing else. Prophets are not infallible people. Prophets are not angels. They are man. And St. James, the 5th chapter, it said Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He had his ups and downs. But he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Then he goes to say the affectional, fervent prayer of a righteous man that they have met. And God had not revealed it to Elijah. And she ran up to his feet and fell down and made known everything that had happened. Now Elijah knew that God dwelt in him. So he said to Gehazi, "Take my staff and go lay it on the child. Now don't stop along the road for a little chat here and there. If any man sleeps, you don't sleep him back." That's the trouble with the church today with this message. They're stopping, chatting along the road. Little gatherings and social parties and card parties and picnics and sewing circles and so forth. Too much of the world has entered into the carriers of the blessed message. Oh, I hope you see this. Notice, "If any man sleep, please sleep him not back, but go straight to the bar. That's what we need. Straight to the Word. None of us hanging around for this, that, or other, but right to the point. Notice. Then what happened? But you know, I think that's where Paul got put the handkerchief to your apron from his body. Elijah knew that everything he touched was blessed because God was in him. That's what the woman touched in him of the garment of Jesus. She knew God was in him. But you know, the woman's faith wasn't in the staff, it was in the prophet. So she said, as the Lord liveth, I'll not leave you. I'm just going to hang around. She had something in her heart and she was staying with it. That's the thing. If God has answered a faith in your heart that He's going to give you the Holy Spirit, stay right with it. If He's touched something in your heart during the meeting that He's going to heal you, stay right with it. Don't let nothing move it. Call everything that happens contrary to that. Call it wrong, cast it aside, and look to the promise. He said, I'm going to stay right with you. And the prophet, that power that's perhaps ever hanging around, so he goes and gets his mantle and throws it over him and gives up his loins, and there he went, the woman following him. The angel went ahead and went into the dead baby, laid his stick upon the baby, but nothing happened. Why? The mother didn't believe him. It would have happened if the mother would have believed him. But she didn't know about the stick, but she did know about the prophet. So she, then what took him place? Here comes the prophet up with the mother, her eyes right on him, and look what a condition it is. The neighbors are screaming in a wave, and a heartbroken father screaming out in the street, oh, my boy, all tore up. The prophet just goes to his own little chamber and closes the door behind him. Just laying on the bed, there laid a little stiff, cold form of a baby dead several hours. And the prophet walked back and forth, to and fro, up and down in the room. I just love that. Just walking to and fro, waiting on the Lord. He that waits upon the Lord shall renew his strength. He will mount up like an eagle. He will run and not be weary. He'll walk in that faith, and he walked to and fro, waiting on the Lord. After a bit, something must have struck the prophet. When he knew the Holy Spirit was on his body, he ran to the child, put his hands on his hands, put his nose against his nose, and the baby flew 7 times and come to life. Outside, they went. What a happy home! And how little Barnum Millet must have loved that story. And as he sat there remembering it in his mind, and how the great conqueror, Joshua, and many of the other stories. But alas, shake yourself. The sun has moved over, a shade has come over. He curls around with his round eyes and sits down again. Somehow he never got a coin maybe that morning. What's he going to tell his little girl when he goes home? She perhaps maybe wanted to see if she could get a dress. His poor wife maybe hadn't had one in a long time. And he was ragged and he couldn't even get soup for their meal. And now maybe less are hungry this morning. And now what can he do? Nothing to eat. And ragged and sitting there. But there's one thing he had, was memories of a day gone by. And then he remembered that not 30 feet from where he was sitting, the great prophet Elijah and Elisha walked down that road together arm in arm. Oh, I can imagine he hears him within his heart, oh, Oh, if I would have only been sitting here then, I would have raised and said, oh, prophet of God, you great mighty prophet, speak to Jehovah for me. But oh, the days of miracles is past, so my priest tells me. That was Jehovah in a day gone by. But think of it, one day, right down where I'm sitting, within 30 feet, with those two mighty prophets that walked right down to that Jordan and left the Jordan and opened it up. Surely, in his heart, he would say, that Jehovah couldn't die. And of the great coming out of the children of Israel, when their elder son was killed because there was no blood on the lintel of the door, would be another favorite story for me. And also, of just a few hundred yards from where he's sitting, the great mighty Joshua, delivering the people into the promised land, walked down to the Jordan, taking the ark, the word of God, in the front of him, and it opened up. And his people walked across on dry land. Oh, in his heart, we are still the people of God. We are circumcised according to the precepts of the Testament. But they tell me that Jehovah doesn't do those things anymore. You know, time hasn't changed too much. I say that with respect. And then he thought again, not over 200 yards from where he was sitting then. One day when the mighty Joshua, the great prince, was walking out of viewing the walls of Jericho before the great battle, he saw a man standing with a drawn sword. He had all heard his mother tell that story, read it here out of the Bible. And as he stood with his sword drawn, Joshua's eyes caught him. Where did he come from? He just appeared. And he was a man with his sword drawn. And Joshua drew his sword and went to meet him. And when Joshua went to meet him, he said, are you for us? Are you for the enemy? And the man spoke back to this Joshua and said, no, I am the captain of the host of the Lord. Just 200 yards from where he was sitting. Little did he know that that same captain of the Lord's host was not 200 yards from him right there. And as he began to come into Jerusalem, or to Jericho, there began to be foot clatters everywhere. People running, echoing noises, people talking. Different broken subjects, some one way, some another. He listened. He was blind. And as he listened, what is this? And after a while, there come the scream of criticism. People are, here comes that fanatic. Here comes that man that speaks against our priests and our church. Let's not let him enter the city. Others come. And above all, he heard the great roar of his priests, which said, oh, you Galileans, you who could raise a dead man, we've got a whole graveyard full of them up here on the hill. Come up and raise some of them. That was the kind of mockery he got. That's the kind he gets today. But Jesus never heard them. Perhaps rotten cabbage or overripe the age, throwing at him and making fun of him and said, you who have done all these miracles, let me see you do something. Ha ha. You see, sir, there's nothing to this fanatic. He doesn't join up with our shoes. And there's nothing to him to begin with. And Barney may have begun to wonder, who is this such a person? Wonder who it is to be. Barney hears another voice. Hosanna! Hosanna! The prophet of Galilee comes! That was his friend. Hosanna! The great prophet Jesus comes to the city. Make way for him. Give to him songs. Give to him praise. And Bartimaeus, what do you pass? No one pays any attention to this poor, low beggar. Too insignificant to be looked at. Hunger grains everywhere. But after a while, a kind little lady stooped down and he says, Madam, who is passing by? She said, oh, blind man, do you have you not heard that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah of God? Oh, he says, I heard my mama tell me that someday the Messiah would come, but surely the priest wouldn't be talking about him like that and singing all those things. But he said, it is true. This man is the Messiah. Oh, you mean that the Son of David is coming to you and is in that way? Yes, that's it. Then all of his dreams, all of his fond hopes, jumped into action. He sprang to his feet and screamed, oh, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people said, oh, shut up. Shut up. You know that there's no such a thing as any help for you, blind Bartimaeus. The days are past for those things. That fellow is just a fanatic. Down in his heart, he has been dreaming. But Mother read to me out of the Bible that Moses said, the Lord your God shall rise up a prophet like him unto me. How that the prophet Isaiah said the lame would leap like an hart, and how the blind would see when this prophet came. And faith struck a halt. And he cried to much more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Now he could not hear the literal voice of the blind man. For all that there screaming and hollering and throwing the things and mocking and scoffing and crazy together, he would not hear physically because he was too far from him. And Jesus, in this certain time, he knew that just a few days since he was there, he was on his road down to Jerusalem. And there he must be mocked and spit on and made fun of and beaten and boxed up and still had a nine-tailed Roman life. And there had to go to the cross, the great nails in his mind, the thorns on his head, the spear in his heart. The agony of Gethsemane, all that was loaded on him, just his heart. And I can see him undisturbed by the criticism. You know, a big man can be criticized and he pays no attention. But it's a little one that speaks a lot. So he didn't pay any attention. When they were criticized and making fun of him, he had one thing that was to the will of his Father. With his heart full, and knowing that he came to his own for his own reason, not, and knowing that he was the God for the very sin, he had his face set towards Jerusalem Calvary. All that on his heart. He never noticed the blind missiles and the criticisms and so forth. He was walking towards Calvary. Now, he could have not have heard that man's voice if he was ever at Jericho and watched the distance to the road. But, and all the crowd, but something happened. I can imagine as he passed by in the crowd, still hollering, the lady said, oh, sir, cried again. He said, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, you took me in so I can see the old Father's body. I believe this one who persecuted and made fun of is your son. I believe he is the son of David. And something happened. That blind brother's faith touched the Lord Jesus. The insignificant one that they tried to make him keep still. But his faith touched the Lord Jesus. Like the woman that touched his garment. He turned, looking at him, and said, bring him here. And when he got there, he said, what is it that I could do for you? The Lord, that I might receive my sight. He said, thy faith has saved thee. If your faith was strong enough in God to cause the person to lead me to call back to you, your faith is sufficient for your need. And as he turned and goes on, trying to find him a little thing now, as throughout the black world before he became light, he could see him. And down the road he went rejoicing, praising God for his sight. Not long ago I was reading a little story of him. He said that his wife and his baby, little girl, just about 10 years old, he had never seen her. He had been blind for years. The story might have been fiction, I do not know. But they said that in those days, while Barnabas begged at the gate, he had two little turtle doves, the brown little tumbles over each other. They entertained to attract the tourists, so he could get coin for this. Something, if you've ever been to India or so forth, you see the beggars have to have some attraction or they won't attract the tourists. So these little doves would tumble over each other. And one night it was said that his little girl got sick. And blind Bartimaeus made his way around the wall and he prayed for the little girl and said, if you will let my little girl get well, God, tomorrow I'll sacrifice one of my turtle doves to you. And the little girl got well, so he did. And by his wife got sick. So he made a promise to sacrifice the other turtle dove. And then his wife was well. And then another sick spell hit the home, and he didn't have anything to entertain the tourists by. And he's begging was very poorly then. And he went outside to pray, and he said, Lord, I only have one more thing. And that is my lamb. Now, you've seen the blind being led by dogs. They're praying for that purpose. In those days, they had a lamb that led the blind. And he said, Lord, if you will heal this case for me and let my little one live, I will sacrifice to you my lamb. It's all I got. And the next day, the child was well. And he said, on his road to sacrifice, the priest said to him, blind Barnabas, where goest thou? He said, oh, priest, I am going up to the altar to sacrifice my lamb that I promised God I would do. Oh, he said, blind Barnabas, you cannot give that lamb, but I'll give you some money and you buy a lamb. He said, oh, priest, I never promised God a lamb. I promised God this land. There's a lesson there. I hope God teaches it to us. And he said, blind Bartimaeus, thou cannot sacrifice that lamb. That lamb is your eyes. He said, oh, priest of God, God will provide a lamb for blind Bartimaeus' eyes. If I keep my promise to him. You know, this cold October day, cutting fruit and leg, God had provided a lamb for blind Bartimaeus' eyes. And may I say this, my beloved friend, that same lamb is provided for your eyes tonight and for your sickness. This God provided lamb to take away your sin and your sickness. And someday we've got to stand in the presence of God to give an account for this life that you've been permitted to live. Not long long ago there was a great man who crossed through the Middle Eastern country, and his name was Daniel Curry. He was a famous revivalist. It's been 50-some-odd years. And Daniel Curry, one night he said he had a dream. And he dreamed that he died and was taken up to heaven. And when he got to the gate of heaven, the opener of the gate came, the gatekeeper, and he said, "Who art thou that is approaching?" He said, "I am Daniel Curry. I am the evangelist who won thousands of souls in the earth for heaven. I have come to take my place and receive my mention. So just a moment, I shall look on the book." And he went to look at the book. And when he came back, he said, "I am sorry, Mr. Curry, but I do not find your name on the book." "Oh," he said, "surely you're wrong. Go look again." And he did the second time. He said, "Your name is not on the book. Therefore, I cannot open these gates to you. You have no name to check." "Oh," he said, "what must I do?" He said, "Sir, you might appeal your case to the great white throne judgment." "Is he kidding?" "Well," he said, "I have no choice. I'll have to do that." And he said, "Seeing as he was taking his face for a long while, and it began to get lighter, lighter, lighter. Go check the place it was coming from, and it began to slow up. And so then, all of a sudden, he came to a stop, and there was the brightest light he had ever seen in all his life. It was 1,000 times brighter than the midday sun. And so he heard a voice say, "Daniel Curry, did you ever steal anything when you were on earth? You are here at my judgment seat." And he said, "I thought I had been an honest man. But that in the presence of that life, I realized that there were some things I had pulled, little shady deals. I didn't think about it when I was on earth, but in the presence of that life." He said, "Then," he said, "yes, Lord, I have sold." He said, "Daniel Curry, did you ever tell a lie when you were in your life?" But I thought at least I'd been an honest man. But that in the presence of that light, I've seen a lot of things that I had told that wasn't right. He said, "Lord, I have no lies." Then said the voice, come the third time. He said, "Daniel Curry, was you perfect when you were on earth in your life?" He said, "No, Lord, I wasn't perfect." And said, "My bones seemed like they were coming apart. And I was listening for that great warmth of light. Then depart from me into outer darkness." And said, "Just as I was sitting ready to hear that great eternal separating word, that I heard the sweetest voice I ever heard in my life. But never did I ever hear a voice like that. No mother could speak words like that. But I turned. And when I did, he said, I saw the sweetest face I ever saw in all my life. But no mother's face could look like that." And said, he walked up to me and put his arm around me and said, "Father, no, Daniel Curry wasn't perfect on earth in his life. But in his life, he stood for me on the earth. And now in heaven, I'll stand for him. Let all of his sins be put on my back." Oh, that's what I think for. That's what I try to persuade others for. How you want him to say, "Well done." I wonder who's standing for you tonight if your life could be called. Could you stand the judgment of the white throne? Let's think of it right quick while we bow our heads just a moment. And if the organist will be so kind to come to the organ and play a Bible music here. with every head bowed, every eye closed, and those who know how to pray, this may be the moment when some precious soul finds its eternal destination. Brother, when the last knock may be knocked at the door of the heart of a person, my spirit will not always fly with man. So it behooves us to pray, Christian. And while you're praying, I'm going to ask this to the sinner, the one that knows that he couldn't not have someone to stand for him. Do you want him to stand for you? If you do, would you just raise your hand to him as a sign and say, God, this is my hand as a sign. I want Jesus to stand for me in the hour of my death. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, lady. God bless you, sir. God bless you. That's right. Just keep your hands up. God bless you. You say, Brother Brandon, does that mean something? Yes. God bless you, little boy. God bless you, lady. That's right. Someone else down the bottom door, God bless you over there. Someone who hasn't put up their hand, would you put up your hand right away and say, Jesus, I'm raising my hand. God bless you back there, God. God bless you. I know that I have nothing I could offer. For all that I have, I give. Balcony to my left, will you raise your hands and stand for me, Jesus? Oh, my dear friends, God bless you everywhere. And the balcony to the center, raise your hands and say, God be merciful to me right now. I'm making my stand for you, Christ. You will stand for me at that day. Just hands everywhere, God bless you. Oh, how the Holy Spirit moving in the building. I'm going to ask you something while the rest of them are praying. You who want to hear that voice when some morning the fog begins to come into the room and the doctor's left and said there's not a hope. You feel your pulse coming up your sleeve and you know the time has come. You're leaving. Do you want him to stand there and bury you across the garden when you're walking on these little brittle threads now, not knowing when he will break? And if you want to be sincere and want to prove to God that you want him to put your name on the Lamb's Book of Life and to stand for you in that day, will you quietly stand to your feet while we have prayer? Everyone that wants to make that stand tonight for Christ, would you just stand on the bottom there and in the up balcony on every side? Would you raise up your hand? Stand up just a moment now. You make your stand up this God bless you, God's right, everywhere. Just stand right up there. I'm making my stand before these people. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I just remain standing. If you're ashamed of me before man, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. But he that will confess you before man, him will I confess before my Father. Oh, friends, we're going to meet it. We're coming right to it. It may be before morning, but you've got to stand. Let another host stand up with you. Someone who say, I'll take my stand tonight. God bless you, friend. Someone else, stand up while we offer prayer in the presence of God. God bless you, brother. God bless you. Someone else, God bless you. God bless you, lady. God bless you. Will you take your stand? Say, God, I'll stand for Christ now. And oh, Christ, you promised me to stand for me on that day. How can you please your thing? When you sit in a meeting like this, where the great powers and miracles of God would be done in the Holy Spirit moving, the gospel being preached, how are you going to stand on a negative confession? Don't you want him to stand for you? When I see hell's gates opening on earth, and I see that every sinner's got to go, and Jesus steps out of the road, I want him to plead my case. He's my attorney. I'll not have to face the Father if he's facing his garment. So want him to face him for you tonight? Would you stand, someone else? Just before prayer, God has put your name on the book of life as certain as you're sincere in your heart. His words cannot fail. Now let us pray for these men who are standing. O Jesus, who passed by the gateway gate, and the blind man's face stopped you on the road to Calvary. How wonderful you are! A little flower come out, peek into your head out from under a stick in the woods without you knowing it. A little gnat come out right on a limb somewhere without you knowing it. The star come out far to the street without you knowing it. And how much more do you look down tonight here and see all these people standing confessing their sins and pleading for mercy and asking you to write their name on the book of life and to plead their case for them? Certainly you see every one of them. You know their names and who they are. And now the Father has given you these. Thou hast said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him. And all that come, God gives them everlasting life. We'll raise them up at the last day. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. They are love gifts. Jesus, here's what the Father gives you tonight. These men, women, and children that are standing are love gifts that the Father is giving to you. And oh Christ, as your servant on earth, I pray that you write every name on the book and give to them the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that they may from this very night live an upright, God-fearing life before the world, with a testimony that will ring out to their neighbors. Make them so salty as it was until all their contact will be saved to you. Grant it, Lord. I command them to be now as the fruit of preaching the word and the love gift of the Father who is in the word. And you receive them now, for thy said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life and shall never come to the judgment, but pass from the judgment unto life. In so many words, Father, they can't stand at the white throne judgment. You're going to stand in their place. Never come to the judgment, but has bypassed the judgment and has eternal life through Jesus Christ. Grant these blessings to the people while we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. The Lord bless you. And men who are standing as they sit down, a Christian by their side, take their hand. Won't you do it? Oh, there's something about the Grand Old Highway. I just love the old-fashioned revival-type service, don't you? Sinners are born into the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit hears a breeze birth through the children. Now, to you who have just come, how many is here for your first time? Let's see your hands. The first time is every one of them needed. Oh, my, just the good thing, we all don't need it once. Every night, two-thirds of the audience is new ones. All right. Now we're going to pray for the sick and the new little children that were just coming to the kingdom of God. Do this now. Listen. Go right straight to some good church solid in the gospel. Be baptized, join that church, and live for Jesus. But I'll just take your hand and raise someday. Do that. I'll meet you in the morning by a bright riverside. All sorrows are drifted away. I'll be standing at the portal when the gates open wide. At the close of this long, weary day, I see you for the grace of God. I remember when my wife was dying, I put the last kiss on her cheek, and I told her, I'll meet you in the morning, sweetheart. Be standing by the side of the gate, cleaning bill, and I'll get the children together and come to see you. I'm on my own. Years of past and tears and sorrow. My shoulders are drooping. I was a young 23 or 5 year old man then.
Now I'm 47, turning gray and drooping down, but I'm on my way. Filling out the lifeline from side to side, taking everything I can to the kingdom of God. I want you to rest assured that the salvation of the Christ that you're addressing is not a system. It's not the soul of Santa Claus. It's the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We're going to pray for his sick children. And we do not claim that we need your people. God has already did that. Now, you were not saved just 5 minutes ago. You were saved 1,900 years ago, but you just accepted it 5 minutes ago. The same way you are by healing. And now to everyone that you're pressed through the kingdom, the Bible says that Christ, Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, all the while the world won't see me no more, but you will see me, for I'll be with you in you to the end of the world. Did he say? And then he said, the works that I do shall you do also. Did he say? How long to the end of the world? Did he go on and say, I am a healer? No, not one time. He said, it's not me that does the work, it's my Father that dwelleth in me, he does the work. But he said in St. John 5:19, when he was questioning about why well, didn't heal some people and man packing his bed on the Sabbath and whatever they were questioning about, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself but what he sees the Father doing. That is the Son likewise. Otherwise, Jesus just saw vision of what the Father told him to do. Then he went and done it just the way the Father said. That's his word. Is that right? Now, if he's very true to him, he's the same. He does the same. Now, he doesn't have any hands on open up his mind to him. His eyes, our eyes, is his eyes. We are the benefit. He is the vine. The vine doesn't bear fruit, it only purges the branch so it bears fruit. He puts into your mind to bear the fruit, while he punishes the spirit and the power. And now we're going to call some people to the platform, and I want each and every one of you, I was going to start a line like I had last night, but it's too late. However, I believe the boy gave 50 cards, didn't he? 100? But I preached just a little longer than I thought I would. So maybe we'll take the other, extra? All right. 100? All right, let's bring a few people to the platform and bring in a massive way to the Lord Jesus to every person in the building. You believe me again? If you will return, you're on the platform tonight, and do the very same things that he did when he was here on earth, where everyone will promise that you will believe him and accept him as Savior and healer, raise your hand. Every person in the building. How many years now, every person in the building, that he did not do nothing and saw the Father showed him first? Let's see how much you know the Bible. Okay. Good. Then we know that when Philip came and found Nathanael, he told Nathanael who he was, what he was, and where he was before he came to the meeting. Is that right? What did the Pharisees, the religious people, that they say he was? Said he was a fortune teller, a Beelzebub. What did Jesus say? You speak that against me, it'll be forgiven. But when you speak that against the Holy Ghost and he comes to do the same thing, it'll never be forgiven. In this world, the world of time. So there in doing that, he prophesied that the Holy Spirit would do the same thing that he did. That's what he said, the Holy Spirit testified on me. And he will bring these things to your memory and will show you things to come. St. John 16, I believe it is, or 15. Notice, that's the scripture. Now, if he has risen from the dead, now I want to ask you, if the Lord has risen from the dead, which we know he has, he is the only religion in all the religions of the world that can prove that their founder is alive. Buddha can't do it. Mohammed can't do it. No other religion can do it. But Christianity can do it. Also, even if that hundreds of them to do it, if they said the race and the dead, the world is. That's the ridiculous time to compare with the sublime. It can't be done. But we can prove that Because God said to him that Jesus rose from the dead, for he's here to do the very same thing. And the Mohammedans said to me down there, when missionaries, one missionary had been there 30 years, and one soul, he said, that precious year, just to preach in the world, giving the chance, but that's all that brother had ever known to do. Don't go find church in America, yeah? That one precious year.
But when they said, let us see you teachers do the same thing Jesus has done, and we believe he raised from the dead.
That's what they were waiting to see the Bible fulfilled.
And when that was done, literally in Durban, they were estimated out of about 30,000, there were 10,000 of them was Muhammad.
See how God does things? Just kidding, he does. He'll do it right. Just let him have it. You can just beat and beat and beat, and it'll never happen. Just turn it loose and let the Holy Spirit do it. He can do it.
Now, there's no power 2 minutes in the platform, and that's too long for you to stand.
We will get these names you can. I'm going to ask every person here to be just as reverent as you can. Be just as sincere as you can. We set me a pipe for just about 15 minutes and be in prayer. Now, how many of you that does not have any prayer card that's given to you today, and you know you're not going to be in the prayer line, upstairs, downstairs, wherever it is, but you believe that Jesus Christ will heal you, and you believe that you have a sufficient faith to touch human, raise your hand. God bless you. Now just stay right where you are and start praying. Now does the Bible say, this is after the resurrection, that he is a high priest of our confession? Does he say that? Does the Bible say that he is a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmity? How are you going to touch him then? He's got to bear record back. If you touch him, you wouldn't know you touched him. Is that right? Now, if you're here and not going to be on the prayer line here, you just sit in this field and be sincere and say this to God. God, make it real to me tonight. And if that man will turn me, not knowing him, and the Holy Spirit, by whose tongue that anoints the people, will turn and I love you, Lord, and I'll serve you. Just let him turn to me and tell me what our Lord did the woman at the well. And I believe with all my heart, I challenge your faith in Christ's name to do that. God said, prove me. All right.
What was on prayer cards?
Exodus 1 to 100. Well, let's start at number 1. Number 1, X. That Mark X was number 1. Who has the card? Did you stand up? Number 2, right over here. Did you stand up? Number 3, you'll be all over the building. Number 3, raise your hand so I can see you. Number 3, that's number 3. Is that the lady there? Number 4, would you raise your hand? Such the people not look to them, maybe break down, think, speak, maybe some raise up their hair off. Number 4, number 5, that's number 5, would you raise your hand? Who has it? That's number 5. Raise up your hand, please. I'm sorry, lady. 6, 7, 8, 9, X number 10. Who has X number 10? Did you raise your hand? Number 10, 11, 12, 13. And I see again, both downstairs and upstairs. Who here is sick and does not have prayer cards, he's going to be called into this line and would like to be prayed for and won't do the thing. Would you raise your hands again so I can get a general conception? Just a little journey with everywhere. All right, just look this way and believe me. I do. Now, Jesus was passing through a place one time and a little woman touched his garment and he got weak. Did the Bible say he got weak? Virtue, which is weakness, strength went from him. Many people wonder why it makes you get weak. Do you know that Daniel had one vision and it troubled him at his head for many days? Who knows that in the Bible? Bible reader.
Yes.
How many know that the virtue of the angel that was on the water at the pool of Bethesda in St. John 5, the first one being healed, except when he had faith enough to be healed, the angel even left the water. Let's see your hand.
Good.
All the virtue left the water. And Jesus, the Son of God, said that he got weak. Verse 11, while he got up to some 20 or 15 or something. Now, as the line gets just a little closer down, we'll keep calling a few more as you see the line getting down. Now, this is hard. If I ever come again up real high, I hope you would like them to come back, and I sure would like to come. I would like to set a meeting so we could stay for about a month. So I could get a chance to pray for the people and then have different meetings, afternoon teaching, have lines like a good last night. And prayer, this year is for massive prayer, massive meetings. This is to bring forth the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, as I said last night, that was the notice of difference in the American people. Bottom on the platform, little lady had a wet, little hips, his mouth, his back. You better be careful what you tell him. And her back was nice, but just as soon as I prayed, I seen she was healed. I said, go take your braces off and turn. How many seen her popping out? The little lady had a lamp on the side of her head. I felt something move under my hand. I was praying, and I went, ooh. Did you see it? The lady had a girl here in the front of her, out here on the front of her. So I was praying, looked back, and the thing was down. Little deaf youth standing there, his feet near his feet. How the Lord blessed a colored man, bound down with a paralytic stroke, as he moved him up, a girl coming down, drinking air on his feet, and he walked away. See, that's the way the American people want to lay hands on them. But that's not really the way you should do it. Lord Jesus said, come lay your hands on my little girl and she'll live. The Roman said, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. But said, I'm a man with authority. And I say to this soldier, you go do that, and he does it because he's under me. And I say to this one, you go do so, and he does it because he has to obey me, he's under me. What was that Roman doing? He was recognizing the supreme deity of Jesus Christ. He said, you just speak the word, my servant will live. What did Jesus say? Now, I've never seen faith like that in Israel. That's what I'm trying to get to you people. Christ is here. So believe it. Africa, India, one supernatural sign, they're watching for it. They see that compared with the Bible. That settles it forever. All right. Now, as we pray, now I want it to be real reverent. Now, I'll tell you why. And to you brethren that were taking it, pictures, flesh bugs, don't take them now. See, this is the life. We're glad to hear that report. There was a lady here last evening who was a cripple sitting in the audience. The usher just come singing. She was sitting in the audience, and she wanted to get into the prayer line, but could not. And she just looked up and asked Holden to receive it, and was instantly healed and walked out home. I understand the little lady with the polio here. I walked in the room the other day, passing through the building. I offered a little prayer for her, and someone tells me, I forgot what someone told me, that she got a feeling in the foot and begin to itch or something, and the little stuff to the cross. That's God moving. Life is coming back. The curse being taken. See? Just keep on believing. That's all. You're feeling better, aren't you? Amen. That's good. So many reports. Now, to everyone here, you are total strangers to me. As far as I know, like there's a two men sitting here that I know, and there's somebody, the doctor, standing right down there. I know the doctor. And I know him and Mr. Wood and Mr. Vale here are friends of mine that I know, and my son standing over here. My daughter-in-law, Mrs. Wood, sitting back in this section here by the post. That's all that I know in the building now. But did you know that Christ knows everyone excuse me, Mr. Vale and the doctor's right? I see you sitting there. But do you know Christ knows each one of you? Now, here is the purpose. Now, don't read it now. This is the right time. This is the purpose. Listen to me. Christ has healed every one of you, and he died at Calvary. It's your faith in his finished work. No matter what the condition remains, it's your faith in what he did. Now, the thing is just accepting as personal healer. Now, if Jesus is here tonight, and you say, Jesus, come here and heal me. Well, he cannot do that. He's already done it. The Bible said he did it with our Redeemer, didn't he? The Father, he said, it's finished. He's already been wounded for your transgression. And with his fact, you were already healed. The only thing he could do would be to call himself to be here. And how would he do it? The miracle. Now, are you the lady that told the country this morning? I don't know where you're going. Now, being a little older, you can walk just a little closer if you were up, lady. Your friend's a lady, and she's, of course, wearing glasses. You know there's something wrong with her eyes, except they'd be reading like it. First, she's about 35, 40 years old. They actually, her eyeballs get flat and they need reading glasses. A close friend. That's the regular procedure, like your hair turning gray or anything else. But she looks happy to me, and she's a stranger to me. I never saw her in my life. I suppose that's it, we're strangers to each other. If we all sort of people would understand things like that. Now, here is a picture again of a Bible picture. This is from New Testament. Our Lord Jesus in St. John 4 was talking to a woman that came out to get some water at a well. You've never seen it. And she came to get some water, and when she got the water, she started to put it on her head to walk away. Our Lord Jesus said to her, woman, bring your drink. And she being a Samaritan and him a Jew, there was a law of segregation, so she said, it's not customary for you to ask such. We are the only Samaritans and Jews. He passed a conversation with her, but he caught his spirit. And when he did, he said to her, he found out some trouble she had. And we believe in America, I know the Eastern idea is different, but we believe in America that she had five husbands. The Bible said she did. And Jesus said, the husband you got now is not yours, and you're living with him. So there must have been something wrong. And when the disciples came, it wasn't no disgrace for a man to talk to a woman in public, but they were astonished that Jesus talking to such a person. The Bible said they were. So if the Eastern idea is different from that, that's all right. Whatever it was, it was a woman talking. And the woman, he said, he contacted his spirit and he found where her trouble was. And he said, go get your husband. He said, I don't have no husband. All right. He's witnessed you didn't have a husband. But Jesus said, you've had five, and the one you have now is not yours. Well, lady, you said the truth. What did she say? Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Is that right? Now, that's what she went on to talk. Then she said, we know that when the Messiah cometh. How many believe Jesus was the Messiah of God? Certainly. She said, we, the Samaritans, he was a religious person, went to the church and knows the law of man. She said, we know that when the Messiah cometh, he will tell us this for all things. But she couldn't make out who he was. He said, I'm he to talk to you, to speak of you. And she ran into the city and said, come to a man that told you these things. Isn't this the Messiah? Now, if that was the sign of the Messiah then, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, it's the sign of the Messiah now. That is to the believer. But what was that sign to the big high Orthodox church then? A devil, a fortune teller, a Beelzebub, a media telepathy. It's the same sign to them now. Little while the world sees me no more, yet you'll see me, I'll come see you. I'm not going to die to say that. I'm going to raise you and I'll be with you even in the end of the world. I'll be doing the same thing right on down to the end of the world. Now, if that picture is true, which we know it is, then Christ's spirit come down, if he is a believer, and reproduce himself again, and find out what he's standing here for. Is that right? And if he does this, the woman could be an infidel, she could be a Nazi, she could be here for a 3 months. Watch what happens. How many lived for that man were hardly to come and hypnotize me, that he went to these army things and made people bark like a dog, and only six approaches, or what they call it? Six approaches, or I don't know how to speak it right or not. Hypnosis, I believe it's called. Anyhow, he would hypnotize these soldiers and make them bark like dogs to me, and somebody hired him to come and hypnotize me. And when the anointing come down, I felt that odd spirit. I thought it was a devil at first. I looked around for a fortune teller. And I watched, I seen sitting there in those eyes looking at me. I thought it was up there. I turned again. I began to watch the interruption. I watched out there. I seen what the Holy Spirit said. I turned around where he was. I said, you child of the devil. Why is the devil cutting your heart to come to this thing? God rebuke you. And the next day, he was paralyzed and he was up today, and that's been about 3 or 4 years ago. He's still sitting paralyzed. Last letters, I said, Luther. All I know, that was yours. Remember that man that night up here across on the Canadian line? They went up there and put on his prayer card a whole lot of things, and he had TV and everything, walked up there. I said, there's nothing wrong with you. But, oh, yes, there is. Look on my prayer card. I said, that has nothing to do with you. I said, that's a prayer card. I said, there's nothing wrong with you. He said, oh, yes, there is. There's something wrong with me. And I said, well, maybe you have faith in the healing. He said, that's what it is, huh? And I turned and looked. I thought, strange, I've seen a room open up before me. And there stood a woman standing looking down on two men. One of them had on a gray suit and a red tie. Another man sitting across on the other back to me. There was a green spread hanging over the table. And I heard it say, and it's nothing but a telepathy. And he will prove it and show that he's wrong. And he belongs to a certain denomination church that I would not call the name. And when he come back, when the vision left, I said, why has the devil cut in your heart to do this? Why, I said, man, aren't you ashamed of yourself being a preacher? And last night you sat with your wife and another man that was sitting right there in the balcony, sitting there with that red tie on in the gray suit, and you sat in the room last night and said that you'd go over and write so-and-so on your prayer card, as if the usher was transferring to me, minister of everything. I said, now the Satan grabbed me on the platform by my pants, and I said, the thing that you put on your prayer card, TV, and so forth, is on me now. The man died about a year later. That was at Windsor, Ontario. Many of you have heard that. How many have heard it? Let's see your hands. Any of you have heard it? Certainly. We're not praying for it. The Holy Spirit. You do love it. This woman's a stranger. I never knew her. I never seen her in my life. God knows her. I don't. But I'm professing this. And my contention is that Jesus Christ has raised from the dead and he's just the same today as he was. He will keep his word if he's God, he's got to keep his word. I believe the word in spite of it, I believe it. Now, be loving, be in prayer, and I want to talk to the woman just a moment. And if you'll perform the same thing here that he did back there in the Bible time, everyone was promised, if you believe and would accept anything that you got need of, you believe he's here to give it to you. Is that right? If God will do this, it's a sign to you that he's here to give you just what you're asking for. The only thing you like is to believe. Now, let us look to the woman. Lady, after preaching and talking, the Spirit of, or the Holy Spirit in a gift. One gift is preaching. That's the evangel. Another gift is prophetic, which is altogether a different gift. And to be preaching then switch to something else, which is another anointing but the same Spirit. You understand? Now, you and I have been strangers and never have met each other, and you being the first person here, I'm just trying to contact this Spirit. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. Exactly. Because you're a woman, I'm a man, and we've never met before, and here we are before several hundred people, and now God's word is at stake. That Bible it says that Christ promised what he promised, that he'd do the same, he'd live in it, and he would work for us and do the same things that he did, that's either the truth or it's an error. Now, don't be afraid to put God's word to the stake. But I perceive that you are a Christian because your spirit begins to feel rapping. See, the Holy Spirit here, and now it's a gift. It's a brother and sister now. Things are changing. You're aware that something's taking place just then. If that's right, just raise your hand for the audience to see. But did you ever see the picture of that line? That's what that land is just now. Now the lady, if the audience can still hear my voice, she is a believer, a real believer. And I see her, she's doing something, but she's real nervously about something, like she's dropping something or something. She's bothered with nervousness. That's her trouble. She has a nervous condition. And she's all upset about something now. That is, she has been to a doctor, and that doctor was looking over her breast. And he found a place like that keeps gathering like a growth. Now, see, with that little white thing or something, he turns your back. And there's something on your back near your spine. And he says that you need an operation for it. That's that is true. You believe? Now, something's here that knows you. I don't. Something knows you. He said, these signs shall follow them as you. Come and let me pray for you. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, thy Son, I bless this woman that she may receive every blessing she's asked for and send her home happy, rejoicing, praising God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless your loyal heart, lady. Go rejoicing, happy, and thank you to God. Would you come, lady? You believe? Now, as you raise from the dead, now you look this way, baby. Your anointing is on. Amen. Oh, what a feeling. I feel just like it was that day when that, after 2 years, that little boy was sitting in the school, he raised from the dead. I never read the story. Some man, a little dead boy, laying there, hundreds of them around, and I said, "Thus saith the Lord." I saw these now, baby. In 5 minutes from now, you'll be on the seat around the false prophet. Boy, you raised and leaped to his feet, praising God, living up today. He's Christ. He can't lie. And he remains Christ. Now the lady saying here is another stranger. We don't know each other. But that's why I raise your hand. Have faith now, don't doubt. Believe. All right, if the Holy Spirit can reveal to me what you're standing here for, the very thought and desire of your heart, will you accept it? You will. You know, as a man, I couldn't hear you if you're sick. And if you are, if I could and wouldn't do it, I'd be a brute. Not a man. If I could help you and wouldn't do it. But I can't help you. But I'm trying to do all I can to get some presence of him who can help you. Because you're my sister, you're a Christian believer. Right? Now the Lord said to Nathaniel, "Behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile." He said, "When did you know me?" He said, "Before Philip called you, I saw you. Way away." What if I tell you I see you from way away? See? You're not from this city. You're from another city called Cleveland, Ohio. Right? Now I see a doctor up here. And a doctor's looking somewhere in the chest or the throat. He says it's a garter on the inside, that's just been recently, and he set a time for operation, a huge demand for an operation. Is it?
Yes.
It has to be. Are you believe God?
Yes, I do.
Our Heavenly Father, the little lady desires life. And I pray as I lay hands on her that you will give to her the desire of her heart. I pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. Go on your road happy. God bless you, sister. Do you believe? All right, do you really love it now? Someone was sitting in the audience just then. I didn't touch it. You see, here, Lord, and I saw the angel of the Lord, which is the Christ of God, it's a light. How many know that the angel that followed the children of Israel was a pillar of light, a fire? How many know that was Christ? How many know that he said, "I come from God, I go back to God," didn't he say? And when Paul met him after the resurrection, what was he? Pillar of fire in the light. Is that right? But the Bible says that's what he is.
Yeah,
I do you read it and say, "All right, Mr. Lady, how do you do, sister?" I don't know you, you know that. But we're strange to each other, but God does know.
Yes,
I just do loving and don't think I'm beside myself. I am not. But I can only say what I've seen, and I've just believed. Well, you have come to me, and we're years apart, and probably born miles apart, and years apart. This is our first time to meet. But do you believe me to be God's servant? You believe that what I teach from the Bible is the truth? And you believe that the claims that I make, the reason I say that, ladies, you remember when Jesus saw a vision of the resurrection of Lazarus, he was on his road back to get Lazarus to raise him. But he asked Martha when he came out on the road, he came out to meet him. He said to her, and she said, if I would have been here, my brother would not have died. He said, thy brother survived again. And she said, I know in the last days, he said, I'm the resurrection life. See? And he said, I'm the resurrection life. He got believed in me, though he was dead, yet shall he live. He said, we're living and believing in me, never die. He said, you believe this? He said, yes, Lord. I believe. He believed that he was what he said he was, the Messiah. And he is the Messiah tonight. I'm just his servant. But the angel who spoke to me and sent me here said, get the people to believe you and be sincere when you pray. I said, they won't believe you. He said, by this they will believe you. This is given at birth. He's just a little baby boy. You are suffering with an arthritis. I see you can hardly get around the town. Then you have heart trouble. That is right. Then you have something that makes you sick. It comes from your right side. This gallbladder trouble. Because you have a polyp like of the gallbladder. That's the truth. Now, I cannot hear you, neither do I know what to say. But something was talking to you. That wasn't me. Because I don't know you. Now, do you believe all this? Now, more you talk to it, more will be said. Now, not for a public show, God doesn't do things that way. But for the glory of God, that you might understand, see a divine gift. May I talk to her some more? She's an elderly lady. And I'd like to talk to her just a little more. Now the lady seems to go from me again. Yes? I feel that sometimes the vomiting is dragging with the gallbladder. And I see you. You're not from this city. You're from a city that's got like a canal in you or something. The Spencerville, that's where you're from. And you live on a street called Main Street. Your number is 401. Your name is Lee Miller. You believe me to be a prophet, a servant? Let us pray. Oh, God, you raised up the Lord Jesus. I pray that you'll heal this woman and make her well. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you, sister. Have faith in God, do you believe? Now, here is another story. A colored woman and a white man. This turns back the place again to the St. John 4. And down in the south, they have a segregation between the white and the colored. And this makes the scene just right. And then Jesus let her know, though, that there was no difference. God makes no difference for all his offspring. I do not know you, lady. Here we are, man and woman, first time ever met in life, even a different race. But God knows us both. You are a believer. And if God will reveal to me what the trouble is, will you believe it? You will? Will you always believe? May the Lord Jesus grant this. Little laddie. Just a moment, there's a little boy. I thought it was a little laddie, so
I'm tired. No, it isn't him. No, here's just a little old town, way over the corner. Papa, do you believe that God can make your boy well? You're setting your praise on him, aren't you? It is your prayer. Your little boy has a rupture. That's right, isn't it, Papa? Mama, is that right? Raise up your hand. See, you touched something, didn't you? You touched your crown. Lay your hand over on the little lad. Heavenly Father, in Christ's name, grant their faith is sufficient now to do that which they are designed in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, I can if you believe, for all things are possible to them. Oh, if you could just see what I'm looking at. It's a little lady sitting over looking at me, and she's praying, and she knows that she has contacted the Holy Spirit. She's moving her lips, she's praying. She is now praising God. Well, she's been suffering with a throat trouble. She's got a little turban right on her head. She's got a little white thing. That is right, isn't it, lady? And I see someone else holding to her throat. It's a lady sitting next to you with a round eye hat on. Has throat trouble too. I'm speaking to you, Mrs. Miller. Why do you know who I'm talking to? All right. I've never seen you in my life and never knew, but that's right, raise your hand. Oh, how we thank the living God for his goodness, for his mercy endures forever. Just have faith. Just believe. Now, little lady, you sitting there just wiped your eyes from weeping. Something touched you, didn't it? You never touched me, but you touched him. And that big band that was put around your arm and said you had high blood pressure, that is right. What do you think they were setting this to? You had one around your arm, but it said low blood pressure. One was high and the other was low, is that right? It is right. Now have faith in God, you touched him. I challenge your faith to believe. Don't doubt. Just have faith in God. Pardon me, lady. I can only go just if he's showing me. All right, we're standing here, us man and woman. Oh! You are for a very serious case. You're standing for someone else, your brother. And that man is in a mental institution. And he's not here in this city. But he is in Cleveland, Ohio, in a mental institution near his sister, and you come that I might offer prayer for your brother. That is true. I'm not reading your mind. That is true. Oh God, our kind heavenly Father, down there in that terrible place tonight, let the Holy Spirit deliver that man from his affliction. And make him completely whole. Because of his loved one who's standing for him, I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. For in his God grant it as you have believed, so may it be so. Oh my. Have faith. Little lady, with little stars around your head, you stood in the church of Christ a while ago. The light of God is still over you. But that death trouble you've been having is gone from you. So you won't have to worry about it anymore. Huh? What do you think that next year has your death trouble? You believe that the Lord Jesus can make you well, do you? All right, you may have it all, say then. Oh,
and the lady with her hands up to her face. She's got a chest trouble. And the little lady that's wiping her eyes, yes. But arthritis is gone also, sister. Amen. That's the way to believe it. Have faith. Don't doubt. How do you do? Of course you know you're in the presence of something besides a man. You believe it's the Holy Spirit? Be real reverent, everyone now. These diseases go from one to another. Now be real reverent. They won't let me stand much longer. But just be real reverent a few minutes longer, please. Each one is a soul. Each one's a spirit. And as you move, it has an interruption, you see. Because every one of you, in this place, looks like I just know right where you're at. I'm just walking with all that is in you to help you, friend. Surely, you cooperate with me. And with the Holy Spirit, you hear that. Let us take this lady then, just a minute. Your main trouble is a nervous trouble. And it causes you to have trouble in your arm and in your limbs. That's right. And you're not from this city, either. You're from Cleveland. Your name is Julietta. Coleman is your last name. You live at an address called 8517 Cedar Avenue. Another thing that you might know that I'll be God's prophet. You got someone on your heart you're praying for. It's a man. The man is your uncle. And he's got cancer. Dying. And he's unsaved. And you're praying for his soul. Amen. You believe? Then receive what we've asked for in Christ's precious name. Have faith in God. What do you think sitting out back there at that back double say? You think God will make you well? Sitting out on the side there, you think God will heal you? All right, you can have what you ask for then. Amen. You want to get over the stomach trouble and be made well? Be healed? And go eat your supper. Be well in Christ's name. What if I told you he was saying, would you believe me? Would you rather have confidence in my word? Then go. The Lord Jesus made you completely whole. How do you do, young lady? You're very young lady to be anemic, but you are. But how about let you and I go to Calvary for a blood transfusion and be made well? You believe? Then in Christ's name, go and be healed. Thanks be to God. Heart trouble's a killer, but Jesus Christ is a Savior. Do you believe that? Then go and be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's say praise be to God. Do you believe? Have faith then in God. What about you in the balconies up there? You're not left alone. Christ is just as great up there. I challenge your faith in Christ's name. To listen here. Here's a young girl looking straight at me, sitting out here with a banister, kind of a heavy set girl. Do you believe me to be God's prophet, sister? You're praying, wasn't you? If that's right, raise your hand, so the balcony can see. I've never seen you. But you're suffering with a back trouble. If that's right, raise up your hand. Now, do you believe me? As God's servant, you believe that Jesus Christ in the audience tonight? Let me tell you how it happened. You fell off of a slide, didn't you? Is that God raised up your hand? Now you're here. Christ makes you well. See? That lady sitting right behind you, a little white hat on. You're in perfect contact, you're praying. If God will reveal to me what your trouble, will you accept and breathe into your servant and Christ being close in the breath? That's right, raise your hand. See? I challenge your faith. By the way, the man sitting right behind you, fellow, has a ride, it seems. That's right, this is so raise your hand. There you are. Have faith. I found it. Amen. How do you do? We're strangers to each other.
I don't know you, but God does know you, doesn't he? You believe me to be his servant? You suffer with breast trouble too. That's the reason you hooked to that lady there, that spirit is going back and forth. Right. You believe? What's your husband going to think about this? He's going to believe too, you think? As a minister, he should, shouldn't he? He's got that trouble, hasn't he? Miss Cooper, that's exactly right. Yes, he can go home now and be made well. You believe? I've never seen you in the life of that tree. Now go on your road and rejoice. Tell your husband, be well. Let's say praise be to God. You love him? Oh, how he wants to heal you all. There's many out there suffering with heart trouble too, ladies. They're just everywhere. Everybody with heart trouble stand to your feet right now. Stand to your feet, let me say, see you soon, call him. Just the name standing to you, stand right here just a minute. Have faith in God. Yeah. That's got a cancer. Cancer, stand up to your feet. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There you are. Stand here just a minute. Have faith. Come, ladies. You believe in your God's prophet? Give the diabetes. Everyone with diabetes, stand to your feet. Keep your name standing. Have faith in God. Come, ladies, you send me the heart trouble, say, please, believe with all your heart. Amen, do you believe? Satan's going to lose this battle. They're all here. Something's got to take place. The devil's defeated. Don't you know?